Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Wednesday morning on our Bliss of Marriage. Every Wednesday is between 11, which is now till 12. And of course, our engineer as usual, none other than Brother Bonface. He's looking absolutely good this morning. He's not smiling, but he's looking good. That's our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course, we will be soon, inshallah, joining our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, and I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's the 9th of Shawwal, 1443, which is also the 11th of May, 2022. If you do have any questions regarding the topic, the bliss of marriage, please do feel free. You can, inshallah, I see the questions are coming in. So, inshallah, you can pose your questions, whatever questions you have. And, inshallah, our beloved, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, inshallah, will highly, inshallah, try and explain to you and make you understand. Anyway, let's welcome our beloved Ustad onto our bliss of marriage this Wednesday morning. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم وعرفات جزاك الله خيرا.
There's a revered brother, Ustad, he wants to know that I was told that if you cannot afford mehr, you can't get married. Could Ustad please explain to me what is the virtue or the benefit of mehr, Ustad?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a person gets married, my brother, then all the expenses for the wife is upon you. Roti, kapra, makan, meaning the shelter, the house, the flat, the dwelling, you have to pay the rental, what have you. Secondly, the water, lights, all that is upon you. The food, medication is upon you. Likewise, the clothing and other expenses will be upon you. So the wife is making such a big sacrifice. She is leaving her parental home, where she grew up for the past 18, 20, 25 years. She's leaving her siblings, her brothers, sisters. She's leaving the place of her birth, everything she's accustomed to, and to spend the remainder of her life with you in another town, another city, another country sometimes. So therefore Islam says you must give her the mahar. Mahar means the marital gift. And Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of this in the Noble Quran, chapter 4, surah 4, surah Nisa, verse 4. So chapter 4, verse 4, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَ. You must give the women their gift, and you must give it wholeheartedly. So whatever you reach an amicable agreement, she will determine how much she wants. For example, that if she says she wants Mahr-e Fatimi, so that will be 19,000-20,000 rand. It fluctuates, obviously. So in our South African currency, if she says she wants half of that, then 10,000 rand, 9,000 rand, for example. If she says she wants the minimum, so 400-500 rand. So that is what mahar is all about. If you cannot pay the mahar, how are you going to maintain and sustain the wife? So obviously then for you to get married will be a big problem. So therefore you need to understand that Islam says you can't go bring somebody else's daughter or sister in your home and then expect her to live on dates and water the whole time. You need to be very, very careful in that regard. And Quran Sharif teaches every husband and commands every husband. Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And treat your wives with justice, with love and respect. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Somebody says, I'm very happily married, but my neighbor keeps calling over the wall to lend some stuff. And he is unmarried, but has an eye for me, dear Muftisab. I don't want him to talk to my daughter either. Can I break neighborly ties with him? Ustad, is that permissible?
You must remember that. You must tell him that he's not allowed to come there by you or call for you and so forth. He must only do that when your husband is there and so forth. That what he's trying to do, you must remember, he knows the exact time your husband leaves for home, leaves for job from home or leaves for the shop or factory or whatever, and what time he comes back. Now remember that he wants to take advantage of the situation according to the question, and he will say, I need this, I need that. So then your daughter will go there, pass it to him or go to his house. So all that is haram, remember, is compulsory upon you to sever ties with him in this case here, because he wants to take undue advantage. Remember, porosika hukuk, hakul jar, the rights of the neighbor. I gave you in three different languages. So it's very important. But when that neighbor has a hidden agenda, ulterior motive, then you must curtail ties and sever ties with him and tell your husband, tell the father that he must speak to him and so forth. And he must tell him that these type of advances are unwelcome and unacceptable to us.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that I am earning a fixed salary. Does my husband still have to give me spending money, Ustad?
Remember that if you are working in Islam, the wife does not have to work. And when she works outside, she has to interact with so many men. She has to wear a certain dress code. Most of the time, she will be missing her salat. So therefore, in Islam, for the woman to go and work outside and trample upon the Sharia, so that will nullify and make it haram and not permissible. All the expenses will be upon the husband. And remember, he can't tell you, even if you are working from home, you're selling samosas or bhajjas, or you are sewing or whatever, he tells you, now the water lights you have to pay, or the rates and taxes you must pay, or the children's school fees, madrasa fees you must pay. So nothing is incumbent mandatory upon you, everything is upon him. And remember, even he must give you something every week, every month, what we call jeb kharch. Jeb kharch means like your pocket money, spending money and so forth. That is not compulsory, like in akhlaqi farze. It's a moral obligation, because the woman also has her own personal needs and everything. Sometimes we, the husbands, we give the wife 5,000 5,000, 10,000, 2,000, whatever, depending how big the family is. Now we want that she must buy the grocery, she must buy the things for the house and all that. There's nothing left for her. So that is not the way Islam wants it to be. Islam wants we must give our women, our wives more and more, because she is one human being. But look at how many portfolios she's fulfilling and for, you know, getting out and so forth. There's a wonderful book which I have by me, Akhbar-e Umar. So the book's name is The Incidents and Anecdotes and the Stories of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, written by Allama Tantawi rahimahullah of Egypt. So there they have stories, different types. Qissa to Umar wal A'rabi, the story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and the Bedouin. So the Bedouin left his home. He came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's house. And when he reached there, he could hear some noise, and then he took a U-turn, he went away. But with the corner of his eye, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him. So whoever was there, Sayyidina Umar told him, go and call that person. He's got such clothing on and so forth. He looks like a, you know, Bedouin and so forth. So they called him. They said, why you came and then you went away? He said, please, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that give me permission to go. I don't wish to discuss it. Said Umar said, I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen. I insist you must discuss it. He said, well, in that case, if you want to hear, me and my wife, we had an argument. I spoke few words and she gave me a tongue lashing with many paragraphs. You know, women, they can't stop sometimes. They carry on and on. So I said that in my mind, let me go to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and ask him that what should I do. But when I came here, I heard Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, your wife shouting you. And it was so loud, I could hear it outside also. So I said, what does Amir al-Mu'mineen is going to do and help me? We both are in the same boat, in the same situation. See. Now, Sayyidina Umar, the genius, in Arabic you say, Abqari, see the advice he gives him. Okay, we're in a boat, same situation. So I'm asking you and posing the following questions to you. He, Sayyidina Umar, is asking him, the Bedouin, who cooks your food? Say, my wife. Who looks after your children? Say, my wife. Who cleans your home? Your wife. Who looks after your valuables? My wife. Like that, Sayyidina Umar asked him questions and everything. He said, Subhanallah, one lady and so many portfolios she's fulfilling. So remember that. Is it not right sometimes that when they also get frustrated, they want to vent their anger? So let them speak. You must remember this type of thing. Occasionally, not every week and every day and so forth. So he said, yes. He said, so that's what your wife did. So that's why we also allow it. So therefore, we should be looking at it that way. They try and win the wife and win the heart of the wife as well. Today, what we do, we want the bodies to meet, but the hearts don't meet. When the hearts don't meet, then there'll be conflict and tension. When the hearts meet, then you say, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Ya Allah, bring about the ulfa, the mahabba, the love, the compassion within our hearts. Once the hearts meet, then this unity of thought, then both you and the wife, both will be going in the same direction. There won't be conflict and tension. Therefore, I always use these two sentences. Marriage, nikah, is a bed of roses when the bodies meet and the hearts meet. And otherwise, marriage is a bed of thorns when the hearts don't meet and you are in conflict with one another. Then the husband is also grumpy and is so anxious. The wife is so worried and so many problems and so forth. Because remember that they are not seeing eye to eye. So that is the big problem we face nowadays.
Somebody says that, Mufti Sahib, when my husband confides in my mother-in-law, if we have an argument, she goes and tell everyone, Ustad, what do I do?
That's wrong, 100% wrong. Remember that the husband-wife relationship is a sacred relationship. Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, speaks of that in the Noble Quran. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. That they, the wife, they have taken a solemn pledge from you. They, and if you want the reference of it in the Quran Sharif, Surah 4, verse 21. Surah chapter 4, verse 21. So remember, I bought my car, I bought my computer, I bought my cell phone, I bought this, I bought... So there you don't need two witnesses. There you don't need the girl's father's permission. So all that you don't need. But when nikah takes place, you must have two male witnesses minimum. You must have her, the lady's permission, her father's permission. So all that are prerequisites and conditions. Then only the nikah and the marriage ceremony will be valid and so forth. So why all this? So that we must understand that this is not buying a car or a computer or a cell phone. You can just buy it, you can just sell it, you can trade it in. It is a solemn pledge, a pledge which is Almighty Allah's name has been used. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teaching, preaching have been taken into consideration. So that's why we must understand that these type of things which people take so light today, that is unacceptable. Remember that. So we must make sure that we do things in the proper manner.
Listener says that every few weeks my husband goes for work out of town, but he leaves me at my parents. I miss him, but he is moody on the phone to me and makes my stay a misery. What should I do? Is there du'as to read, Ustad?
Remember, regarding the previous question, one point must still be highlighted. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna sharra nasi indallahi manzila." The worst of people by Almighty Allah are those that the husband has news of his wife, then he goes and broadcast it everywhere. Or the wife knows something of the husband and then she goes and broadcasts it everywhere. Obviously, if the husband is doing unda, danda, upside down things habitually and so forth, then she broadcasts it, is a different thing. But here, where you know it was a mistake or it was, you know, something that never happens regularly, so both parties must try and cover it and conceal it. So similarly, for him to go to his mother or for you to go to your mother and go broadcast it, and then that mother-in-law goes and broadcast it, totally haram and unacceptable. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. The next question, remember, your husband has to go for work outside here and there, within the country, beyond the borders of the country. So he leaves you by your parents' place. So you love him, so you miss him also. Al-firaqu murrun. That, remember, separation sometimes is better. And sometimes the separation, it brings about more love also. In Arabic, this is not a hadith, it's a proverb, a saying, Zur ghibban tazdadu hubba, which means absence makes the heart grow fonder. If you look at the English language and so forth, you will find so many things they stole from Islam or from the Arabic language and so forth. This is another example. So nevertheless, now when he speaks to you, he's not there by you. So now maybe he had a bad meeting, or there was a lot of, you understand, appointments, or his boss was with him and then his boss was not so good to him. So now he vents his anger with you. He's very moody and so forth. So all that is unacceptable. Every husband must know your work pressure, what happens at work, that must stay there. You can't be taking out the anger of yours of work at on your wife, on your children, and now you start treating them badly and so forth. All that is unacceptable and misguided. Therefore, just today I told them, the Imam, he read the last ruku, like you know, of Surah Furqan, so, and that Waibadur Rahman and all. So I said that, see, Imam Sahib recited Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurratu Sarat A'yun. Ya Allah, grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Right, we must read that. Read the Asma'ul Husna, chapter 7, verse 180. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And when you read it, you go Jannah. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Hadith Tirmidhi. And you don't make dua. And I was telling them today is Wednesday. So on a Wednesday, remember between what we will say that, you know, Maghrib, between Zohar and Asr, between Zohar and Asr, du'as are accepted. So in a case like that, what we should do is that we should try our level best to make du'a, because Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 77, the last ayat, Allah Jalla Wala is warning us. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Tell them, Ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Allah is not bothered about you if you don't make dua. And Hadith Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmed, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. You don't beg Allah, Jalla wa Ala, then the wrath, the anger of Almighty Allah descends on that person. So it's in our own interest, we always make dua sincerely to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Somebody says that my husband refuses to sleep in the same room as me. He uses the kids as an excuse, Ustad, and says the kids are young and I must sleep with the kids. Is this permissible in Sharia? And furthermore, Muftisab, he does not show an interest in me as his wife. Is there a point in living a life like this, Ustad? Anonymous.
What your husband is doing is totally unacceptable. Surah 2, chapter 2, verse 187. Everywhere you will find advices, guidance in the noble Quran, in the teaching, preaching of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, I give you. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. This marriage, Islam called it the clothing, the garment. So how our clothing are attached to our body. So you, husband, wife, you should be attached to one another. So you should be sleeping together. You should be sharing the dukh and the sukh together, the adversity, the prosperity, the happiness together. So when there's good moments, you share it together. When there are sad moments, then adversity, calamity, you share it together. Marriage is a partnership, not a dictatorship. But the way we answer the queries is, they are posed to us, we don't know who's the person. But the way it seems to me, what you are saying, you are married for 10, 15, 20 years, you have 4, 5, 6 children, and now your husband seems to have lost interest in you. You're no more so slim, you're no more so trim, no more so beautiful and attractive as you were, and where he's working or where ever. I don't know, we can't make wild allegations and accusations, but maybe he's found somebody else, or maybe he's busy on the chat line, or maybe he found it more interesting on the pornography and sites and all that. Obviously, every Muslim knows that all that is totally, absolutely haram. So what you need to do is that address the situation when he's in a good mood and you're alone with him, not in front of the children and so forth. What went wrong in our nikah? Where was the turning point that now you're showing no interest in me, you leave me? Kal mu'allaqa, Quran says. What is kal mu'allaqa? You just leave me suspended. So you say, I am your wife, but you don't carry on like that. I don't sleep with you, you don't talk to me, you only use me when you need me, and so forth and so on. So if what you are saying is true, sister, remember the treatment which your husband is giving you is totally, absolutely haram and not permissible. And every moment Allah's curse will be upon him. So therefore, that seems to be just an excuse he's using. Islam says when husband, wife have problems, then the remedial measures you take, فَإِذُوهُنَّ, then you must advise your wife, speak to her kind, polite manner, تَرْقِيقُ الْقُلُوبِ, melt her heart, Quran says. And then she don't listen, وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَدَاجِ, then you separate the bed. Not now, forever and for months and months, no. For 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, you tell her, you sleep there, I'll sleep there, so she must know that you are now unhappy and displeased with what she don't want to perform salat, she don't want to wear modest clothes, she don't want to do things that are compulsory upon her. So that is Islam teaching as a remedial measure, not as a thing that you do all the time and so forth, and say that no, you must go and sleep in that room and I will sleep in this room here and you take care of the kids. So that is a feeble excuse and that is unacceptable in Islam. So we must know when Islam gives that law. That is when there are problems between husband and wife. And if you want the reference of the verse, then go to Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 34. So chapter 4, and that is Surah 4, and verse 34. So there you will find it as well.
Someone wants to know, Ustaz, that can a man propose to a lady who is in iddat? She's got 3 weeks left to start.
It's haram, that. So you must remember that Quran Sharif states, وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا أُقْدَةَ النِّكَاهِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلًا. So when the husband passed away, so you must wait till the iddat finishes and then you can go and propose and so forth. From now you're already tuning her up. From now you're already sending her messages. You look so beautiful, and me, I'm interested in you, and my darling, my poppy, my sweetheart. So this lady here lost her husband now, and 3 months, 3.5 months, almost 4 months have passed. So she is also now, you know, that lonely, and she feels wanted and loved and so forth. So you're going to catch her on the rebound. So Islam don't allow these things here. Islam says when the 130 days finishes after the death of her husband, then you can start doing all these things there. Otherwise you start already like proposing, tuning her up, or she's a strange lady for you. How can you do all these things there? Not permissible.
0847863132. Somebody says, Mufti Saab, my husband says it's sunnah to marry a second wife, but only in Ramadan. Is this true, Ustaz? Anonymous.
Remember that your husband is speaking from the top of his toes. Remember that. So people will twist and turn the Sharia to suit their own whims, fancies and desires. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of this topic, that we have 2, 3, 4 wives in Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 3. Mathna wa thulatha wa rubaa. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. When you fear you can't do justice, for wahida, then one wife only. Today in any country, put 100 Muslim men and who got 2, 3, 4 wives, and see that you will find the majority of them, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, depending which country you go to, you will find they are not exercising, practicing justice. So therefore, that is selective sunnah, you see. They like that sunnah which appeals to their whims, fancies and desires. You see our fraternity, the Maulana fraternity, the Ulama fraternity, the Mufti fraternity, the Imam fraternity, the Sheikh fraternity, call it whatever you want. They like 3 sunnats. Which 3 sunnats? Ijabatu da'wah, to accept da'wah invitation. Just today people send me that pictures and images and all that of the Maulanas in India, how they are eating in some restaurant. You must remember that they went for a 5-course meal, and the way they eating there, so the people are really suffering in so many parts of India. Does it behove you as a Maulana, as the Imam, you go and go? Obviously not. So, but you see today when they get exposed, then they will make all type of excuses and so forth. So that is our problem. Number 2, Qailula. We love to sleep in the afternoon. You see sunnah and all. Third one, nikah. sunnah. That must have one wife, two wives, three wives, four wives. This is sunnah. But when you speak about the other part of the sunnah, you must treat them fairly, equally, justice. So that selective amnesia. So people forget. Before we go for the break, and just now I'll forget also, see the world. I want to show you how the world works and how the Western media works. You see, in the morning, this morning, I sent out, Mona Arafat sent it out as well, the podcast of a program, 5:25 to 6 o'clock or so this morning. And I spoke about the Jutlas, the Jews, the Zionists and so forth. So when I went for Fajr and then I come back and then I look at the news and all that on my phone, you know, the Haaretz and the, all this type. So they murdered the Israeli forces. They murdered the lady of Al Jazeera. Her name Shirin. So Shirin means to be sweet. But now you see what they do, that they want to get out from the difficult spot. They say, no, it was a case of crossfire. So maybe it's not our bullet that killed her, it's the Palestinian bullet that killed her. You see how they twist and turn things, you must remember. They are the murderers of prophets and messengers, Quran says. Remember that. Fariqan kazzabtum wa fariqan taqtulun. They murdered Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam. They murdered Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, Zacharias and John the Baptist. So we say alayhi salatu wa salam. They tried to murder and assassinate Nabi Isa, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, the Jutlas, the Jews. They tried to assassinate Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1. 2. Regarding media and so forth, last year when the war took place, conflict, whatever you want to call, against the people in Gaza, so the media tower is there. They know it is, and they the ones who bombed it, who blasted it to smithereens. A war crime that is. But because America is with them, the Western powers are with them, Europe is with them, and so forth, so nothing happens to them. So they take the world for idiots and fools. So this is the apartheid terrorist rogue regime of Israel. Occupation is terrorism. Remember that. And I sent out two today to all the groups. So you must remember, one is a professor of Israel and how he condemns the ideology of the Zionism and the occupation. And one is Gideon Levy. So he speaks and see how he says that you're wasting your time with the two-state solution and so forth. So I'm telling you, but our Arab brothers, our Arab Tanpot dictators, majority of them murtad and out of the fold of Islam and traitors, the leader of Saudi Arabia, the leader of United Arab Emirates, the leaders of Bahrain, Morocco, you think these clowns there, they are Muslims? They are bootlicking the Israelis. They bootlicking the Americans and so forth. So the only way you're going to solve this problem is one settler, one bullet will settle many issues. So that is, so today, Wednesday afternoon, you must remember that make special dua that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjidul Aqsa, protect our people from the Jutlas and the Jews and the Zionists, and from the Shias and the Alawis, the Kuffar, there in Syria and many other places. So that are what the Ummah is up against today. But remember, وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah gives honor to whoever He wants. He does graces whoever He wants. Allah Jalla Wala give us tawfiq.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. When it's 22 minutes to 12 o'clock on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning, my engineer says that Morana, just give the number out again. SMS number, our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132, +27 84 786 3132.
32. Well, I'm just waiting for my beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. He will be joining me, inshallah, in another 1 minute time, inshallah. So let's just wait for the questions. I see Brother Haji Suleiman Esop, my beloved engineer. Okay, so our beloved Ustad is back with us. So inshallah, let's cross over back again to my beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome back to the program, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Salam. No, I did just get all the programs. I have to announce it now, what programs they give place from afternoon, inshallah. Ji, carry on.
There's a sister, Ustad, says that she's 28 years old, husband is 48 years old, but Mufti Sahab, he feels like he's slow, he says he's old, and he's hardly intimate with me. So what must I do? 28 and 48 to start.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, when you got married, you know there was a big gap between the two of you. So now, when he is 48, you 28, there's a 20-year gap and so forth. So what will happen is that you will have to change his diet. He will have to do more exercise, little bit, you know, walking, jogging, whatever, all these type of things. And then, inshallah, things will come right and so forth. Otherwise, you're going to leave it like this, then he'll get tired and retired and so forth. And you will remain in the marriage because you got 3-4 children, but it will be a stale marriage. All the glitter, all the shine will disappear. So both of you have to now make the marriage work and make dua together, eat dates, eat, drink zamzam, all these type of things. And inshallah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make things work. And maybe he's got business problems. When people have problems, remember that causes big problems also. And that is, remember, that a person like this, then he can't concentrate on his wife and children because he's drowning in debts or he's got other problems, his business is no more performing well and so forth. So have a heart-to-heart discussion with him, and in that way you'll solve the problem.
I see the brother says, Mufti Sahab, I have most regrets that Allah has taken my wife away last month in the month of Ramadan. Only now has it come to my realization how much she did for me. May Allah have mercy on her soul. I'm crying, Ustad.
Obviously, you must remember you are married for 20, 30, 40 years, and then the wife passes away. Allah Jalla wa Allah grant her Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
You and your children should be reading Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana filli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. All of you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jamaah, you should by heart this type of du'as and supplication and teach it to your children as well. So that is number one. Then number two you must remember is this, that in Arabic we say, An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. When a bounty is gone, then you realize the value of it. In Urdu we say qadr ni'mat ba'da zawal, that when that bounty is gone, now we start appreciating it. You see what happens to us husbands when we married 1 year, 2 years, then we try and treat the wife well. Now 5 years, 10, 20, 25, 30 years, we just take it for granted, and then sometimes we treat them badly, roughly. So obviously all that is unacceptable. Now all this is coming back to you. So what you must do is daily read Quran Sharif and transfer the reward to her. Daily give out even one rain, two rain on her behalf. Third one, you and your children together make dua for her. And inshallah, in that way, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will elevate the rank and status. And inshallah, you should think about it whenever you are ready. Then maybe you 25, 35, 40, 50, that you are to settle down and so forth. Because in a time and age like this, you know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu an, is faqihu hadhil ummah, the jurist of this ummah. So what did he say, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala an? He said that if Almighty Allah tells me, hypothetically, for argument's sake, that in 10 days' time I will die. So today we say, is the 9th of Shawwal. So on the 19th, 20th of Shawwal, I'm going to die. So remember that I will still get married because I don't want to fall in fitna. That was the golden era of Islam. Now what you expect? Everywhere there's fitna. In the masjid there's fitna. Cell phone fitna and what then what goes on. So you must remember that. So you should look at that as well. And whilst I'm on this topic, for us today in South Africa and few countries is the 9th of Shawwal. Otherwise in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak and majority of the countries of the world, today is already the 10th of Shawwal. On 10th of Shawwal, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's nikah took place with Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So you want to get married now, so tonight is good night, you get married 10th of Shawwal tomorrow, and in that way there you practice and revive the sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam nikah took place with Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha during the month of Shawwal, and with Umme Salama, the honorable wife of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during Shawwal. If you want the ahadith on both, open Ibn Majah and you will find it there.
Somebody says that my husband chats to other women and sends them heart emojis. When I confront him, he says, I have no right to go in his phone, and what's wrong with him messaging other women and calling each other love? Ustad, anonymous.
Remember, absolutely haram. Islam promotes purity, chastity. Ask him, if you do that and you start sending to strange men, then he will blow his whole exhaust and his gasket and everything will be blowing. So you must remember, Quran Sharif states for male and female that it is haram to do that. Why? Wala taqrabu zina, that do not even go near fornication and adultery. And remember why? Innahu kana fahisha, it is something that is obscene and it is something that is indecent. So Almighty Allah wants we as Muslims, we must be the one to be the flag bearers, the standard bearers, the trendsetters, and we must show the world how to behave and so forth. And there must be no fornication, no adultery. So this is enshrined in chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 32. Chapter 17, verse 32. So each one of us should know. Now you start sending messages to women, then you still got the audacity to tell her, you got no right to come see my phone. But remember, you do all haram things with that phone. So what you expect her to do? So we like quick to use Islam when it suits us, but when we do haram dandas, then we want to say challenge the Sharia, what's wrong with it? Yeah. So that you are challenging Almighty Allah, you are challenging Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So remember, when we play with the Sharia, we use it selectively and so forth. So remember, it's a serious, serious offense. Don't fool yourself, brother, you are guilty as charged.
What relationship does the father and the daughter-in-law has to start?
So you must remember that the daughter-in-law, you went to propose to her on behalf of your son and so forth and so on. So you must treat her like your daughter. I always tell people, when you get married, now you must think that if I have a son-in-law, how will my son-in-law treat my daughter? So you, the husband, must treat your wife better than that. So you, the father-in-law, how much you treat your daughter-in-law? So you must remember that how you treat your own biological daughter, treat her like that or treat her better. Because you went to bring her, she made all the sacrifices. And by the same token, she must treat her father-in-law like her own father. Obviously, the love and all that cannot be the same. But at the same breath, we have to say the opposite as well. Sometime father-in-law, daughter-in-law are alone at home, and now this father-in-law has out, but has nicotine. He's old, but he's not cold. Now he's got hidden agenda, ulterior motives. So he's coming nearer and nearer to the daughter-in-law. Then he will just say, no, by mistake he touched her. Then by mistake he will try and, you know, grope her. Then by mistake. So all this mistake is calico. physically. You must remember he's got hidden agenda, ulterior motive. Whether people like or don't like, we are not the Maghrib Azan, Maghrib time, you know, Ramadan time, to make everybody happy. In this day and this age, therefore I say, in most instances, I won't say all, but I'll say in most instances, it's best to live separate. You must remember that you and your wife, you live separate from the in-laws. So you don't have all this problem of daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, and so forth. Because nowadays, with our morals being eroded, Iman and Islam going, you understand, Iman, Islam will never change. But we Muslims, we change ourselves. Our the level of our Iman decreasing, diminishing, decreasing. So now when we get the chance, we want to do all this unda, dandas and haram things. So therefore, you need to be very careful. Your father-in-law must not be setting you up. You must remember this. We know of such incidents, and it will continue and get worse. All these things will get worse the nearer we go to Qiyamah. Only Almighty Allah envelope us in His mercy.
Ya Allah. Somebody says, Ya Ustaz, that my kids are playing with fire, Mufti Saab. Both my sons are Casanovas. How do I make them realize that girls got feelings too? Ustaz, anonymous.
So you must remember that when your sons or son-in-law are Romeos and Casanovas and so forth. So all these things you must go to the start, when the proposal came for my daughter and so forth, I don't have no children, so just example. So my daughter, so our problem is what? We look at the mal, and we look at the jamal, we look at the wealth, and we look at the beauty, and then you must remember that they take decisions and so forth. So that is our biggest problem. Very few people in the ummah will go and do proper homework. This person here, what is his income? Is he punctual with his salat? Is his aqidah and belief structure right and correct? Does he lead a chaste life and pure life? You must ask ourselves, did he become Casanova, Romeo, all that playboy after marriage, or was it there before? You will find in most instances it was there before. So it's not afterwards he became. But we did not go. Now remember, they're doing all this year. So in a case like that, remember my advice to the lady will be, Quran Sharif states, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, the pure female for the pure male, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, that the impure man for the impure woman, the impure woman for the impure man. So remember, he's impure, you are pure. So rather you tell him, okay, you're going to your parents' home, and then you don't come back until they agree to your conditions and so forth. Then you give him 1-2 chances, and if he doesn't listen, then you can request for a talaq as a last resort. Talaq, divorce should be the last option always, not the first. And the last resort, not the first one. And then the second one will be, if he's stubborn and so forth, you can go to the ulama and apply for a fasakh and annulment of marriage and so forth, because the husband, take a practical example. The chef here, he's a Casanova, playboy, Romeo, call whatever you want to. So today, this week, he's busy with this one, next week with that one, last week with that one, because he got a lot of money. So tomorrow when he sleeps with you, or wife, now you get AIDS. Just today I laughed, you know, said, because I read a lot of news, you know. So they say, oh, Bill Gates, he got COVID. You understand? Bill Gates, he got COVID. So I said, the whole world is telling this. So Allah ki lati be awaze. Now you are chaste, but because of his philandering and running around and so forth, now you become the victim and so forth. So you must remember that that is totally unacceptable, and we supposed to know better than this. Secondly, you sleep with him and you get sexually transmitted diseases. Why? Because he was parking here, parking there, parking in the parking lot, and so forth and so on. So each one of us should know that that is totally unacceptable.
I see we've got a student of Deen, Ustad. Student of Deen says, I received a proposal, dear Mufti Saab, and he's very rich, multi-rich. And of course, there's an 11-year gap between us, Ustad. But my parents are saying no. But didn't Sahabia marry rich Sahaba? Please, Ustad, explain to them so no one is going to stop me. I'm going to marry him and I know he will look after me. Student of Deen, Ustad.
You're being very foolish, you know. So this type of things there. One side, you say you're a student of Deen. And one side, you don't want to listen to your parents. So what you learning in madrasa? So you must remember that. You learned in madrasa, you must disappoint your parents. And why you want to marry him? You don't want to marry him because of his piety. You don't want to marry him because of his good character. You just want to marry him just because of his wealth. You're a disgrace, man. So you must remember these type of things. You never read in the Quran Sharif, Uruban Atraba. Atraba means that the husband, wife must be best. We don't say compulsory. The similar ages. So yeah, there's 10, 11, 12 year gap between you and him. So your aim is just to marry him because of his wealth. Totally haram for you to marry him. You must remember that. Now you want to come speak of Sahaba and all that. You should be ashamed of yourself, man. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. You cannot, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi and in Abu Dawood and in various compilations. You cannot get married without the consent of your father and your parents and them. One. Two, you get married, then if a nikah huwa batilun batilun, that nikah is null and void. You will be living a life of zina and not permissible. Third one, remember this, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu zambin, every sin a person commits, insha'afa anhu wa insha'azabahu. It is the prerogative of Allah. Either Allah forgives that person or punishes the person. But one sin, illa uquq al-walidain, when the son, the daughter, they disobey the parents in things that are permissible, things they're supposed to obey. You go and say, not like what you're saying, they can do what they want to. I'm not getting married. What you doing? It's better you don't go to madrasa. What are you learning there? So you're learning all this. So you should be ashamed of yourself, man. So illa uquq al-walidain, fa inna Allah yu'ajjilu uqubatahu li sahibihi fil hayati qabla mawtihi. So you must remember, Allah will punish you in this worldly life before death overtakes you. For you, sister, I don't know you, but I'll tell you three things about you. Number one, you are too arrogant. Number two, I'm telling you, you are disobedient to your parents. And number three, that you just want to marry this person because of his money. You better wake up, sister. Remember, you just say no and go to your parents and kiss their hand and apologize and say, I was gone mad for a little while and so forth. Then you will get some knowledge. Otherwise, this knowledge will become a wabal, a calamity on you.
Allah.
How one side, Quran Sharif taught us, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase this knowledge. And then Habib, go open Sunan Nasai. Imam Nasai, rahimahullah, I don't think you ever heard of Imam Nasai and his Sunan and so forth. You must go there and open Kitabul Isti'adha. There are 65 chapters there, and you will find the du'as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, we must seek protection from. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Ya Allah, I seek protection from such knowledge that's not beneficial. That's what's happening to you. The way you pose that question is haram for you to marry that person. So that is our verdict on that issue. Okay, inshallah, we got the news now with brother Suleiman Esop, inshallah. And thereafter, we got the lecture by Maulana Suleiman Qattani. And that is the spirit of Hajj, inshallah, between 12 and 1. 1 o'clock will be the Adhan, and 1:05 to 1:30 50 is Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verses 20 to 30. 132 will be from the archive, Surah Mu'minun, verses 71 to 74. 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. And then 3 to 340 will be the repeat of the Q&A of this morning with Mawlana Arafat. 345 to 4, Zikr and Duas. 4 to 5, Mawlana Ridwan Kaji, attachment to the Noble Quran. And then 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 730, the repeat of today's tafsir, Surah Muhammad, verses 20 to 30. And thereafter, 7:30 to 8, Mawlana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. Thereafter, then we will have Brother Shafaat after the news, and a very good doctor in, you know, in his field. That one two time I heard his program, and that is Dr. Shankara Chetty. You should listen to him between 8 and 9. He speaks about those people who are promoting vaccine and those who are anti-vaccine, and he is one of them. So he speaks about it. It's very good. You should listen to it. Then 9 to 9:30 will be Brother Shafaat Khan and Sheikh Shoaib Maida, and thereafter 9:30 to 10, Mawlana Salim Karim, mashallah, with Brother Shafaat. So that's our programs for today. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Well, we leave you there, inshallah. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Suleiman Esop.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.